bask in the restaurants that are there or anything like that. He's there for a purpose, and the purpose is to get people, catch people, to work with his ministry. Historians say that on any given day, there would be around 300 boats on the Sea of Galilee fishing. But out of all those boats, Jesus picks on two, one belonging to Simon and Andrew, and one belonging to Zebedee and his two sons who work for him. Life of a fisherman at that time was hard. It wasn't like, you know, casting out and trying to catch fish and enjoying the day. I would tell you just an aside story. When I was young, I was fishing with my friend Ron Mitsueda and his grandpa, Grandpa Tashiro, Japanese man from Japan. And we're catching fish like crazy. Ron and I, we must have caught like 20 trout. Grandpa didn't catch a single one. Now he showed us how to bait the hook and everything, and we fish and fish, and he had nothing. So I said, "Grandpa, why don't you catch fish?" Reeled in his reel, and on the bottom of the line was a sinker. But underneath the sinker, there was no hook. And I said, "Well, you can't fish without a hook." And he said, "Well, fishing's different. Sometimes when you catch a lot of fish, the next time you go, you want to catch more. And if you don't catch any fish, well, you're disappointed too. So either way, you'll probably be disappointed by fishing. So I don't kill things and I don't fish, but fishing is about being together. It's about sitting in the boat. It's about talking and just waiting for the days to pass by. I like that kind of fishing. I don't even need a pole." It was different. It wasn't a hobby. It wasn't a recreation thing for Simon and Andrew and James and John and Zebedee. It was hard work. When Jesus comes along, it's not casting into the lake and hoping to catch a trout. It was different. They had a net. The net was around 20 feet in circumference, and it had stone weights at the ends of it. And so you have to get that net and throw it out as far as you can and let the stone sink, and then with ropes, pull that thing back in, and whatever fish were dumb enough to be in the way, that's what you got. So it was time and time and time again, casting nets. It was hard, hard work. When Jesus comes upon Andrew and Simon, they're casting nets into the water, and Jesus says, "Follow me. I'll make you fish for people." That's a line with no hook. "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people." And immediately, bang, they leave their nets and follow Jesus. Immediately, exclamation point. Day goes on, and Jesus walks a little further along the Sea of Galilee. And there is James and John, painstaking, putting the net back together, tying those knots so that when they throw it into the lake, the fish don't slip out. Because sometimes the fish are smart, not just dumb. So they're mending the nets, doing what they're supposed to do, and Jesus immediately, bang, says, "Follow me." And they get up, just like that, and they leave Dad and the hired hands in the boat, and they just start to follow. No explanation. There's no explanation. There's no way of understanding this. They just do it. If it were me, I mean, I don't fish anymore because Grandpa Tashiro told me that's not important. I don't fish, but if it were me, honestly, and Jesus was walking along and I'm working at the fishing and he said, follow me, and I'd have to say, where are you going? How long are we going to stay? What do I need to bring? How long are we going to be gone? I'd have a lot of questions. Not the zipping. It would take me a long time to think about it. Honestly, I didn't start doing the pastor thing until I was 33. I put it off for a long time, thinking I was going to do something different, and I have done a lot. It just took a long time to get there. And good support from my dear Linda. I don't know if I'd be immediately able to jump up and say, I'm going to go. It's hard. It's hard to go, because when you go, you got to let go. You got to let go. Jesus, he doesn't offer a map or an itinerary or a destination. He just says, follow me, and they get up and go. That's just not me. I'd have to take some time to plan. Not that spontaneous. But following means to let go. To put things aside. And that's the hard part for me. And it's, I got to say, it's probably a hard part for you, to put everything aside and follow Jesus. We're really good at accumulating things, but we're not so good about letting them go. You ever notice how many storage units are being built across America? It's because we have too much stuff. We got way too much stuff. Don't look at my garage. Don't you dare do that. But we can never get to a new place in life, unless we're willing to leave everything behind. Now, Jesus isn't talking about, you know, getting rid of all your possessions and walking around in sackcloth and no shoes out in the cold. It's not about that. But it is about letting things go. It means letting go of the nets. Getting out of the boat. It means following. That's metaphorical, of course. You know, I don't have a boat, don't have a net. But I do have a call to follow. Metaphors. Let's think of it this way, that those are symbolic of life, our lives. What are the symbolic nets in your life? What things are trapping you in relationships that are entangling you? What nets do you need to leave behind in order to follow? What are the little boats of your life that contain your life, those little tiny things, and keep it so small? Sometimes our boats become illusions. We're illusions. Illusions of control, of security, illusions of self-sufficiency. I'm in my little boat and I'm okay. What fears are keeping me from following, getting out of that boat and following? What are the things that keep you in the boat and just keep on going in the same old waters? What would it take for you to get out and do it? The symbolic part of following Jesus. If you can identify the nets and the boats in your life, then you can find those moments where Jesus says, follow me. Follow me is less about where we're going or what we love, what we have, and it's more about who we're becoming. Following Jesus is an invitation. It's an invitation to become fully alive, to be able to meet the world, our world, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, to meet the world and follow Jesus. Follow me, Jesus is saying, that's an invitation. It's an invitation to engage the world and others, to engage the world and others with the heart of God. Simon and Andrew, they're casting their net out into the sea, day after day, it's the same thing, the same sea, the same net, the same boat, day after day, it's wind, it's water, it's fish, sore muscles, tired backs. Cast your net, cast that net, pull it in, cast that net, and pull it in, day after day. If you're not casting your net, then you're sitting in the boat and you're mending the nets. Casting and mending and casting and mending. That's James and John. That's what they're all about, casting and mending. That's us sometimes too. We get tired. You know those days. We all have them. You know those days. We may not be fishing for a living, but we know about the casting and mending metaphors that are in our lives. Days that seem the same day after day. One day looks like another. We don't expect much to happen. And that's the way life goes sometimes. We cast the nets, we mend the nets. We cast the nets, we mend the nets. Casting and mending to make a little living to pay the bills. Casting and mending to gain security and get that retirement at the end. Casting and mending to earn approval from someone. Casting and mending our way through another day after day. Loneliness sometimes, sadness, illness. Casting and mending, those are the reality of our lives, the place where we are, the circumstances of our lives. But that's where Jesus comes in, the place where he calls us now, the place where he calls us and we can be changed. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. You fished for fish, you'll fish for people. Simon and Andrews, they were ordinary fishermen. There was nothing special about them. They had no college degrees in theology from seminary. They were fishermen. James and John, nothing special. They weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for them. He found them. And they were too busy with their nets to follow Jesus, to even think about it. Just another day, and then it happens. And immediately, boop, bang, they get up and they follow. Because, you know, Jesus has a way of showing up in the ordinary, the everyday events of our lives. I may not say it with words, but he's saying, follow me in this place. Follow me in this time. Don't hesitate. On the way here today, we were going through the toll to leave Indiana. I don't know why they make you pay to leave Indiana. I don't know why they make you pay to go into Indiana. But there we are. We went through the toll booth, and I saw off to the side there were some folks standing outside their car, door open, dressed like they were going to church, and the cars on the side of the road. Immediately, I could have stopped, but then I'd be late for church, and so I had to keep going because my life is more important. But think, when you see that happen, would you stop? Could you stop? Fear of the unknown. I don't know. Is it safe? But sometimes Jesus says, immediately, do it. Jesus' invitation is like that. Whatever you are and whatever you're doing, he calls. And it's not just fish, okay? It's not just fish. He could have said to the carpenters, follow me, and you'll build the kingdom of God. He could have said to the farmers, follow me, and you'll grow new life for people. He could have just as easily said to the doctors, follow me, and you'll heal the world. He could have said to the teachers, follow me, and you will change the hearts and minds of people to the presence of God. To the parents, he could say, follow me, and you will nurture new life. Whatever it is, however it is, there's a call for each one of us in our lives and our occupations, wherever we are. But sometimes we need to be reminded. I like the prayer of St. Francis. It's a guide. It's a good guide for how we're supposed to live. And we look at it sometimes with reflection of what we would desire. Think of it this way. After each one of those sayings, put an exclamation point. Bang! Don't let me hesitate. Let me do it now. Francis writes, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Bang! Where there is hatred, let us show love. Bang! Injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Bang! God knows we need that a lot. Where there is doubt, faith. Despair, hope. Darkness, light. We need that today. Where there's sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Bang! Immediately, whenever you see it. To be understood as to understand. Immediately. To be loved as to love. For it is in the giving we receive. And it is the pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is the dying that we are born to new life. And God says, bang. I always have a problem in any church that I go to when we say the prayers and people say the last word. Is almost they're embarrassed. That last word, amen. You're up here talking to God, and the last word is like, amen. Think of that word, that one little word, amen, with the bang. Let it be. If you remember Michael Jordan, when he would do that three-point shot and win the game, he would jump up in the air, Blackhawks players, skate and do the skating, bang! That's amen. And to all the things when God calls us, when Jesus calls us to get out of the boats and follow me, I pray that we can say, bang! Amen. Amen.